Amen, amen. Christ is here. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. We have the opportunity to continue to worship through receiving the word this morning. I welcome you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I welcome those watching online too. As part of our family here at Sanctuary, we welcome you in. Appreciate you being part of what God is doing in our community here. So this is part three of our, wait for it, sermon series. And the past couple of weeks, we've talked about why God allows us to wait. Sometimes we get frustrated in the waiting, but God is doing something in the waiting, waiting to develop character, waiting to reveal something in our lives. And then last week, we talked about God's fullness and waiting for the fullness of God, the shalom of God, the peace, the fullness of God. Well, this week's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, we're going to be reading 12 verses. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for your word, O God, and sometimes it is challenging, O God, just like the story of John in the wilderness, crying out that those would come, would repent and turn from their sins to receive the Savior. And so, God, we thank you for that word. We thank you that you are completely active and involved in our lives, calling us even now to turn towards you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there's a lot of things that come on TV right now, right? We're in the Christmas season. It probably even started before Thanksgiving. Nowadays, Christmas seems to be a season from October till December, right? And then as soon as we get to Christmas Day, the music stops on the radio and the season ends, right? You can't find a carol. You can't find a Christmas special. But all on the TV now, ABC Family has all the Christmas things. And all the Christmas stories always include a villain. There's always a bad guy. There's this great battle between good and evil. In the story, the Santa Claus is coming to town. Who's the bad guy? Does anybody know? Come on, kids. The Burgermeister Meisterburger. Yes. How about in Frosty the Snowman? Professor Hinkle. How about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Abominable Snowman, who actually gets redeemed. How about the Grinch? Right, the Grinch is the ultimate bad guy. And then there's the Heat Miser. There always seems to be the bad guy. But long before Hollywood got a hold of this concept, the original Christmas story had John the Baptist. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't believe he's a bad guy. He just had a really tough message. And sometimes that's what we need. And in contrast to the light coming into the world, we have to understand that there's a tough message that prepares us to receive that message. We want to hear, though, at this time of year, joy to the world, right? Not repent. Repent. And yet, you can't have one without the other. It's exactly the order in which it came first, right? John the Baptist came to call a people to repent before they could receive the true gift of Christmas, before they could receive Jesus. There has to be repentance. Repentance comes before rejoicing. Amen. That's just what we want to hear in December, right? The reminder to repent. Isn't that what the Christmas season is all about? The Christmas season is all about repenting, right? You're thinking, no. What happened to Christmas carols? What happened to fa-la-la-la-la and all of that? Well, all of that comes at a great cost. First for Jesus, of course, and then for us. He paid the ultimate price. We have to repent. Repent, John said, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. The traditional Jewish notion of repentance includes five components. The first one is the recognition of one's sins as sins. And this is what Paul talks an awful lot about, like how do people even know if they're sinning, if nobody's there to preach the word. And he raises up the law as the one, like a mirror, that shows that we are sinful. When confronted with God's word, that's how we understand what sin is. There's a lot of people that don't believe that what they're doing is sin because they have no knowledge of what it is. So the first step is that people receive the knowledge of what sin is. The second step is remorse. That understanding, and sometimes we use the term conviction. There's something in our souls that go, oh, that was wrong. Man, I shouldn't have done that. That remorse that we feel. The third step is desisting from sin, which means stop doing it. Stop doing it. That's the third step. The fourth is restitution, where possible, to make amends, to make things right. And the fifth is confession. The word that we find in the New Testament is metanoia. It literally refers to a 180-degree turnaround, the reversal of direction. Theologically, repenting is a turning away from what we're currently headed and turning towards God. It's not a 360, right? It's a 180. It's going the complete exact opposite of where we were going before, turning away from sin and turning towards God. So the voice of John the Baptist is one that calls us to get ready. Get ready for the coming of our Savior and his kingdom. He is the voice of the prophet in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. His is the voice that announces the coming of the Messiah, who calls on every heart to make room. Every heart to make him room. Make him room. How do you prepare when you know that a guest is about to visit? If you know that somebody's coming over and you have advance notice, sometimes you don't, but if you do, what do when you know that there's a guest coming? Clean the house, right? Everybody's like, get it tidy, at least clean a spot where somebody can walk from point A to point B, depending on what it is. For us in our house, it's the removal of dog fur. Because we have two, and there's an abundance of dog fur at any particular moment. So the removal of dog fur is a high point. So we clean, we prepare, we get ready. Maybe you even take out the garbage, right? Depending on what you've been preparing and how full it is, maybe it's getting a little to the point where it needs to go. That garbage needs to go out before anybody comes in your kitchen door. Well, there's a poem by Shel Silverstein, and because I knew some of the kids... Some of them are still in here. Were they removed to do something fun? Okay. I wanted to share this story. It's called Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout Would Not Take the Garbage Out. Does anybody know this poem? Okay. So I'm going to share it with you. It says, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd scour the pots and scrape the pans, candy the yams and spice the hams, and though her daddy would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. And so it piled up to the ceilings. coffee grounds, potato peelings, brown bananas, rotten peas, chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the floor, it cracked the window and blocked the door with bacon rinds and chicken bones. Drippy ends of ice cream cones, prune pits, peach pits, orange peel, gloppy clumps of cold oatmeal, pizza crust and withered greens, soggy beans and tangerines. Crusts of black burned buttered toast, gristly bits of beefy roasts. The garbage rolled on down the hall. It raised the roof. It broke the wall. Greasy napkins, cookie crumbs, globs of gooey bubble gum. Cellophane from green bologna, rubbery blubbery macaroni, peanut butter caked and dry, curdled Mick and crust of pie. Moldy melons, dried up mustard, eggshells mixed with lemon custard, cold French fries and rancid meat. Yellow lumps of cream of wheat. At last, the garbage reached so high that finally it touched the sky. And all the neighbors moved away, and none of her friends would come to play. And finally, Sarah Cynthia Stout said, "Okay, I'll take the garbage out." But then, of course, it was too late. The garbage reached across the state, from New York to the Golden Gate, and there, in the garbage she did hate, poor Sarah met an awful fate. That I cannot right now relate because the hour is much too late. But children, remember Sarah Stout and always take the garbage out. Children, children of God, can you see where I'm going with this? Repentance is taking the garbage out. Repentance is taking the garbage out before it's too late. Now, we all have it, okay? We all have our stuff. We all have our garbage. Sometimes we think we have dealt with our garbage a long time ago, and maybe that's the case. Maybe you've had so much garbage that you have been dealing systematically with a heap of garbage for the whole of your entire life, and that might be the case. But dealing with our garbage is not a once and only once event. Just like in your homes, you are making garbage every day. We make garbage every day. Humanity is fallen. We are sinful. We need to repent. It's a daily confession and a seeking of forgiveness. It's not a one-time event at an altar. We don't receive God's forgiveness and then we're clear to go. Repentance is something that we need to do on a continual basis, and it has to be real. How about that? No counterfeit repentance. Because what happens if you hide the garbage? If you don't really take the garbage out and you just pretend to take the garbage out, anybody have that when you tell your kids to clean the room and they don't really clean their room, they just kind of start hiding stuff and tucking things in closets and under stuff and in drawers and in bags and hanging on things, and before you know it, you're like, what is that? What? What is that? I would hate to even confess that that happened to one of my children, and it's not the one that's sitting in the room right now. Because if you hide it instead of taking it out, it stinks. It eventually builds up to a point where everybody knows. Because instead of, remember we talked about being the essence of Christ, instead of having the aroma of Christ, our garbage is the aroma that ends up following us and creating a trail because we haven't dealt with our garbage. We need to repent. We need to pitch the garbage. And the best part of all of this is that repentance leads to rejoicing. If you're at a point where you are so burdened by garbage or sin, how easy is it to rejoice? It gets in the way. Sin is what separates us from God and separates us from brothers and sisters in Christ. What happens oftentimes is that people will begin to not come around the church, will not become coming into the presence of God because of sin. Sin starts to separate us not only from God, but from our sisters and brothers in Christ. And when the garbage is removed and when we're set aside and we have that clean hands and clean heart, then we can rejoice. But it only comes from repentance first. We repent and then we rejoice. That repentance, that 180-degree turnaround allows us to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? The author and perfecter of our faith. Instead of being self and inward focused on our sin because it's so much and it's becoming such a stumbling block, right? When you're mired in something, that becomes what you're focused on all the time. As opposed to when we repent and we release and we allow God to deal with it, then we're able to actually lift our heads and see Jesus. And that truly is the real reason for rejoicing, amen? Our forgiveness, but being able to see Jesus, being able to know that God is hearing our prayers, being able to know that Jesus is on our side, that is true rejoicing, the forgiveness that comes. So in this Christmas season, Christ has come, which we know, right? We are no longer waiting for Messiah. So we rejoice now. But I would say that we don't want to get the cart before the horse. Let us make sure we are getting our priorities straight, to make sure that our garbage is out, that our sin is dealt with, that our houses are clean before the guest arrives. And then we can rejoice, right? If you know your house is clean and somebody comes knocking on the door, you're just like, come on. Let me give you a tour. I got nothing to hide. I haven't hidden anything in some weird closet. You know what I'm talking about, right? When your house is right and somebody comes to call, you are more than happy to bring them around and show them every corner of your house because it's neat, it's tidy, it's clean. Come on in. And our spiritual houses have to be the same way. So that when Christ is knocking, right? He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. When we want to invite him in, we want to know that there is nothing in there, that he's coming into a clean house. We can rejoice with clean hands, clean hearts, and to fully embrace the precious gift of Christ this Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, that we have the opportunity, God, to repent. And so, Lord, as we come into this Christmas season, God, we know that we rejoice for Christ is near. Christ is here. And we celebrate the coming of Messiah. And truly, God, we celebrate at Christmas because we know Easter. As Easter people, we celebrate this special birth because of what Christ has done on Easter morning. But God, we want to be a people that have the garbage out. And so, Lord, we're just going to take a few moments, God, hear from our hearts even now. We don't need to come forward to an altar. We don't need to do anything special, but just speak from our hearts. And that we have the opportunity to confess in our repentance. So, God, right now, in this time, in this moment, this precious and sacred time, God, hear from our hearts this morning. If there's anything that we have been burdened with that we need to turn over and repent from, we do it now in this place and in this time. Let's just take a few moments and be in prayer, and I'll close again. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what we have raised up from our hearts, oh God, that you are gracious to forgive. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that from the heavenlies, oh God, that you rejoice when we come to you and release our burdens. So, God, as we continue, Lord, through this Christmas season of this time of fellowship, God, be with us. Be light within us. May we constantly carry that light of Christ in us. And may there not be anything that would darken that light in our lives. And God, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit continue to bring to mind those things that we need to repent from. And that, God, daily we would come to you seeking your forgiveness, seeking your mercy and your grace. And to submit our lives daily to follow you. I ask you, God, that you bless these people. throughout this Christmas season, God. I ask, Lord, that you bring people around Faith and her family, God, that would help them get out of the home, God, and start anew. We thank you, Lord, for the positive affirmations that we've received through Sheila's testimony and Faith's testimony, God. And I know there are more. And Lord, you are constantly at work, oh Lord, answering prayers. And we rejoice in those things this morning, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are meeting needs. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Lord, you are our healer. Hallelujah. You are our healer. And that, God, you've called us for a special plan, a special purpose. May we be mindful of that over the next few days, oh God, that we would be Christ followers in word and in deed. And we thank you for this time in this precious space. Continue to bless your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.